Narayanam Namaskritya Nadam Cheva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayat Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 22, chapter entitled The Elements of Material Creation, text number 6. Vyasam Vyatikarad Asid Vikalpo Vadatam Padam Prapte Shamadame Apyeti Vadas Tam Anu Shamyati Yasam Vyati Karad Asid Vikalpo Vadatam Padam Prapte Shamadame Pyeti Vadastam Anu Shamyati Yasam Vyati Karad Asid Vikalpo Vadatam Padam Prapte Shamadame Pyeti Vadastam Anu Shamyati Yasam
Of which energies of mine?
Vyati
Karat
By the interaction.
Asit
Has arisen.
Vikalpa
Difference of opinion.
Vadatam
Of those arguing.
Padam,
the subject of discussion.
Prapte,
when one has achieved.
Shama,
the ability to fix his intelligence on me.
Adame,
and control of his external senses.
Apyeti
disappears. That difference of opinion.
Avada,
the argument itself.
Tam anu,
consequently.
Shamyati
subsides. Translation of Prabhupada by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. By interaction of my energies, different opinions arise. But for those who have fixed their intelligence on me and controlled their senses, differences of perception disappear, and consequently, the very cause for argument is removed. Translation responsibly. By interaction of my energies, different opinions arise. But for those who have fixed their intelligence on me and controlled their senses, differences of perception disappear. And consequently, the very cause for argument is removed. Purport. Conflicting varieties of perception are created by the interaction of the Lord's material energies in the minds of different philosophers who staunchly defend their opinions, stating this may be the case, or perhaps that or the other, Or this may not be the case, or perhaps that is not the case. Such logical or rational proposing, doubting, counter-proposing, counteracting, etc., take thousands of different forms and become the basis of argument. Actually, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, is the basis of all existence, since everything emanates from the Lord, is maintained by the Lord, and at the end is merged to rest within the Lord. Lord Krishna is Paratattva, the highest truth underlying all other dependent truths. In a society of learned persons who have understood the personality of Godhead to be everything, there is no further cause of philosophical quarrel. Such unity of opinion is not based on the absence of philosophical inquiry, nor on the stifling of rational discussion, but is the natural result of spiritual enlightenment. So-called philosophers proudly boast that they are searching and researching for the absolute truth, yet they somehow consider one who has found the absolute truth to be less intelligent than one who has not found but is searching. Because Lord Krishna is the absolute truth, one who fully surrenders to the Lord becomes the most learned person. Amagyan timarandasya ginanjana shalakaya chakshun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dadati swa padantikam vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha Petitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Srivasa Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches that the Vedas are divided into three categories of knowledge. What are the three categories of knowledge that the Vedas are divided into? What's that? Karma, Jnana, and Bhakti. It's a different three. Not that. Another three. That's there. Karma, Jnana, and Bhakti. That's also a division of the Vedas, but there's another division also. Anyone know? That's four. What is that? Three. Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. The entire Srimad Bhagavatam elaborates upon these three subject matters. Sambandha. Lord Chaitanya, when he's teaching these three subject matters, he classifies Sambandha as Krishna Sambandha. What does Sambandha mean? Yeah, it means a relationship. So, Krishna Sambandha. Krishna Sambandha means what is the relationship of everything with Krishna. That is called Krishna Sambandha. Because Srila Prabhupada explains in the very introduction of the Bhagavatam, he says that the Bhagavatam is not just dealing with God, it is dealing with the absolute truth. Bhagavatam does not deal just with the personality of God, but with all of his energies also. So this is called Sambandha. Sambandha means what is the relationship between God and God's energies? What is the relationship between God and all of his creation? Just like there are different types of shaktis or tattvas, which is described within the Vedas. What are some of the different types of tattvas? Tattva means truth, tattva. Like that. So what are the different types of tattvas which are there? Okay, Vishnu tattva. So If you look at Vishnu Tattva, we say Krishna Sambandha. What is Krishna's relationship to the Vishnu Tattva? How does Krishna relate to Vishnu Tattva? He is the origin of Vishnu Tattva. All right? From him comes all of the other incarnations. Right? So, Krishna is known as Avatari. There are so many avatars, or so many incarnations, but the Swayam Bhagavan, the original personality of Godhead, from which all the other incarnations come from, this is Krishna. Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. Krishna's two, Bhagavan Swayam. Ete chamsa kala apumsa. There are unlimited forms of Godhead, but the origin of all of those forms is Krishna. Right? And all of the other forms are expansions or expansions of the expansions of those forms. So this is Krishna Sambandha. This is the absolute truth. This is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and what Srimad Bhagavatam are teaching. Because in most of the religions these days in Kali Yuga, the knowledge is not very well defined. People just say God. But what does that mean, God? Does it mean God is a cowherd boy in Vrindavan? He is Brajendra Nandana. And that he has unlimited shaktis and expansions. When they say God, is that what they mean? It is not clear. Whereas in the Srimad Bhagavatam, everything becomes clarified. The absolute truth is understood in totality. So that is called Sambandha. Krishna Sambandha. So we have Vishnu Tattva, and then what other Tattvas do we have? Shiva Tattva. Shiva. So who is Shiva? It is described, he is very difficult to understand, Lord Shiva, but he is incredibly important. Because he is not Vishnu, but he is also not a Jiva. So he's something in between. So it's difficult to understand. So Shiva Tattva means that in his original form he is known as Sadashiva. You'll see on the front cover of the first canto of the Bhagavatam there is the Goloka planet, the original planet, and then there are so many Vaikuntha planets. So on one of those Vaikuntha planets there is a form of Narayan. His name is Sadashiva. Sada means eternal, constant. So this is the original form of Shiva, and from that form of Shiva, he expands into the material world. Now when he comes into the material world, he becomes changed slightly. So he is no longer Vishnu Tattva. Originally he is Vishnu Tattva, but when he comes into the material world, then he changes slightly. Because he directly contacts the material energy, or his wife, who is known as Durga Devi. So because he directly contacts her, then he becomes slightly lessened. He is no longer Vishnu. Because Vishnu never touches the material energy directly. It describes in the Bhagavatam that when Vishnu enters the material world, he glances at the material energy. He does not touch it, he just glances. And by his Shakti, which is actually carried by Shambhu, that glance is carried by Lord Shiva or Shambhu, then that is how he directly contacts the material energy. So on Vishnu's behalf or on Krishna's behalf, then Shiva, he touches the material energy. So because there is some contact with the material energy, not that he is overcome by it, but he contacts it, then he is called Shiva Tattva. So he is not Vishnu anymore. The Brahma Samhita, Lord Brahma explains, just like when milk is touched with some souring agent, like tamarind or yogurt or lemon, then the milk transforms into yogurt. So milk can become yogurt, yogurt cannot become milk. So that is the difference. Shiva is a transformation of the Absolute Truth, but he is no longer the Vishnu Tattva. He is no longer... There's a difference between Vishnu Tattva and Shiva Tattva. Rupa Goswami describes there are 64 qualities of Krishna, and 60 of those qualities Lord Narayan has, and 55 of those qualities Shiva and Brahma have to some degree. So he's not exactly like that. So the absolute truth, Krishna Sambandha in the Bhagavad Gita, describes all of these tattvas. So we have Vishnu tattva, Shiva tattva. What other tattvas are there? Jiva tattva. Jiva tattva means all of us. We are part of God's creation. We are emanating from God. We exist because of God. We exist because of Krishna. But we are not Krishna, even though we think we are Krishna half of the time. Half of the time we think we're a devotee, another half we think we are Krishna himself. So that causes a problem. So the jiva is simply, she is part of Krishna's energy, but minute part and parcel of Krishna's energy. The Prabhupada explains, qualitatively the same. Krishna is Sat, Chit, Ananda, Vigraha. We are Sat, Chit, Ananda, Vigraha. We are also, Krishna is full of eternality, knowledge and bliss. We are also eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss when we're not falling asleep in the Bhagavad Gita class. Then we are, at that point, we are full of eternality, knowledge and bliss. But when we fall asleep in the Bhagavad Gita class, we are not full of eternality, knowledge and bliss. It is a different type of energy which is acting. But originally we are the same as Krishna in quality, but quantitatively we are very different. Krishna is unlimitedly powerful. He is known as Vipu. Vipu means great. It means someone who has unlimited vaibhav. Vaibhav means opulence or potency or shakti. And we are known as Anu. Anu means? Yeah, quite small. And follower. Anu also means to follow. So we are the followers and we are very minute, whereas Krishna is unlimited. He is unlimitedly powerful. The Bhagavad Gita describes that we are 1/10,000th the size, the tip of a hair. And as Prahlad Nanda Swami sometimes likes to remind us, we cannot even become 2/10,000ths the size of a tip of a hair. But when we walk through the door, we walk into the temple, we walk in with this big false ego. Like an elephant, which can hardly get through the door. Everyone goes, oh, here comes the false ego. Like that. So we are very small by nature, but because of our ahankara, or false conception of ourselves, we imagine ourselves to be very prominent. But actually we are very insignificant. So this is jiva tattva. Jiva tattva, qualitatively, he is the same as God, but he is minute. And why do we exist? What is the purpose of our existence? Why are we here? Why do we exist? Yeah, that's very good. For the pleasure of Krishna. Ananda mayo byasat. The nature of the living entity is to seek ananda. To seek bliss. That is our nature. We want to be happy. Hands up if you like being happy. Hands up if you're happy today. Oh God. Sometimes happy, sometimes not very happy. When are we happy? We're happy when we remember who we are. And when are we not happy? When we get too much absorbed in the dream of Maya. Sometimes we say, I'm not happy because I'm suffering in this material world. Of course you're suffering in this material world. It is meant for suffering. But we are not a part of that suffering. It is a dream. It is something we identify with. And gradually, as we become more Krishna conscious, we have to wake up from the dream. Prabhupada suffered in this material world because he had a material body like us. Not like us, but he had a material form. But he was always blissful. He never became morose or depressed like that. Prabhupada was always blissful because he understood who he was. Yes, he was in the material body and that was suffering, but he did not identify with the body or the mind. So we have to learn this gradually. It takes time. But that is the process of Krishna consciousness. So, jiva. The jiva shakti is the same as Krishna in quality, but in quantity, very different. Like that. So what other shakti, what other tattvas are there? Vishnu tattva, jiva tattva, Shiva tattva. Very good. Shakti tattva. Very enthusiastic response. Thank you. Rasa had her dose at New Nandagram and now is feeling very ecstatic. Once again. Please come there again and again. But, so this is called Shakti tattva. What is Shakti tattva? It is part of God. Shakti means the energy of God. Two types of shakti are there, apara prakriti and apara prakriti. Krishna mentions in the final chapters of the Bhagavad Gita. Then there is the inferior energy and there is the superior energy. The inferior energy means this material creation, which is made of matter. This is dull, like matter. This is the inferior energy of God, right? It is not full of eternality, knowledge, and bliss. It is not sat, it is asat. It is not chit, it is achit. It is not ananda, it is near ananda. It is full of, it is temporary, it is ignorant, and it is full of misery. So if you are temporary, if you are ignorant, and if you are full of misery, that is because you are too much identifying with the material energy. You are not the material energy, you are the spiritual energy. So the jiva is tatashta. Tatashta means in between the two energies. You can go to one or you can go to the other. But if you wake up and you go to the spiritual energy, then you'll experience eternality, knowledge, and bliss. So shakti tattva means the energies of Krishna. So we have the inferior energy, then we have the superior energy, which is made of Satchitananda, very good. Yeah, Satchitananda. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is described, these three shaktis are called Sandini, Samvit, and Hladini Shakti. Sandini Shakti means eternity. It means eternity. One is eternal. The spiritual world is made of eternality. The material world is temporary. Just like if you take a tree in this material world, it is temporary. You'll see that tree in the courtyard, the plum tree in the center of the courtyard. If you come back here in 100 years, that tree will probably not be there. In 200 years, it will definitely not be there. It is temporary. But the trees in the spiritual world, the kalpavriksha trees, which were wish-fulfilling trees, they are eternal. They are made of eternality. Sandini Shakti, they always exist, right? And then you have Samvit Shakti. What does Samvit mean? Knowledge or chit, consciousness. Samvit Shakti means knowledge. Everything in the spiritual world is cognizant. Everything has consciousness in the spiritual world, right? Even the plants, the animals, the stones, the rivers, everything in the spiritual world, it has consciousness. It is not static, it is ecstatic. Prabhupada describes. Everything in the spiritual world is ecstatic. It is made of consciousness. Everything is conscious. There's nothing which is unconscious. In this material world, everything is unconscious. Like the floor has no consciousness. Right. Hello. No. Nothing. But in the spiritual world, everything has consciousness. It can communicate. Everything has that ability. Everything is aware. Everything is devotional towards Krishna. That is the nature of the spiritual world. So Sandini Shakti, Samvit Shakti, and Hladini Shakti. Hladini Shakti means? Yeah, it means bliss, potency. It means Everything in the spiritual world is eternal. It is conscious and it is unlimitedly blissful. Lord Chaitanya says the nature of the spiritual world is anandam buddhi varadhanam, ever increasing ocean of bliss. How much bliss can you have in the spiritual world? Unlimited, like an ocean of bliss. That's how much ecstasy the devotees in the spiritual world experience. Right? Unlimited, like an ocean of bliss. And then, the next moment, that ocean expands. Right? It continuously, anandam buddhi vardhanam, it continuously expands, moment to moment to moment. That is the nature of the spiritual energy. It is full of unlimited bliss. This Sladini Shakti is personified as Shrimati Radharani. Right? Like that. She is actually Sladini Shakti comes from her. It is not that she is personified Sladini Shakti, but actually Sladini Shakti comes from her. Means that her form is constituted of Sladini Shakti. It is just blissful. She is blissful. And she supplies Krishna all of his bliss. Actually, Jiva Goswami says, if there was no one else in the creation except Radha and Krishna, Krishna would be fully satisfied. That's how blissful Radharani is. She so much has the capacity and ability to satisfy Krishna. Krishna does not need anything else except Srimati Radharani's association to feel fully blissful, to feel unlimitedly blissful. So then one may ask, why are we here? What is our purpose? If Radharani is already taking care of Krishna, then why do we exist? Because Radharani has a desire in her heart to share the bliss that she experiences from Krishna. She experiences unlimited bliss from Krishna, and she wants to share that with someone else. Just like if you go to the Radha Govinda temple in Jayapur, which is the most important deities for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas in our Sampradaya, one of the most important deities. These deities were discovered by Rupa Goswami himself and worshipped and installed by Rupa Goswami himself. And they're now in Jayapur. And when the devotees get some Mahaprasad from the altar after the aarti, they go around the back of the altar and they distribute, even though they may have a small amount, they distribute it to all the other pilgrims. And then when there's a little bit left, they honor that themselves. Right? That is the nature of pure bhakti. And because Radharani is full of pure bhakti, she wants to share Krishna with everyone. She doesn't want to keep Krishna all to herself. She wants, Krishna is so wonderful, let me share him with everyone. So therefore, that's why we exist, because Radharani desires to share Krishna, and Krishna does whatever Radharani wants. Right? Sri Krishna Karshani, the nature of prema bhakti, or loving devotional service, it controls Krishna. So who controls Krishna? Radharani. She completely controls Krishna. Whatever she wants, Krishna will do. So therefore, Radharani wants to share Krishna with everyone, so therefore we all exist. That's why we exist. Otherwise, yeah, that's why we exist. That is our purpose of existence, to experience the bliss of serving Krishna under the auspices or the guidance of Srimati Radharani. Like that. So, these are the different types of tattvas. So we have Vishnu tattva, Shiva tattva, Jiva tattva, Shakti tattva. Are there any more? Guru tattva. Yeah, it's another tattva, which is a Guru tattva means the guru is the representative of Krishna. Krishna says in this 11th canto of the Bhagavad Gita, he says, acharyamam vijaniyan. Krishna says, you should understand the acharya is myself. There's no difference between me and the acharya. There's no difference between me and the guru. Yet the guru is not God. He is God's representative. He is a Shraya Vigraha. He is the person in this material world who gives us shelter and allows us, teaches us how to serve God. So he is not God, but Krishna says you must see him as God. So this is a different type of tattva, guru tattva. Simultaneously, inconceivably, he is God's representative and should be treated as God himself, yet he is not God, he is God's representative. This is guru tattva. Any other tattvas? Pancha tattva. Okay, you're really pushing me today. I was thinking, I was hoping no one would say any more because I was thinking I don't know about anymore. So. Okay, pancha tattva. Very good, very good. So what is pancha tattva? Pancha tattva is everything that we just described, right? Vishnu tattva, jiva tattva, right? Shakti tattva, even Shiva tattva in the form of Advaita Acharya. Everything is there. The absolute truth is in the pancha tattva. Right? Guru tattva is in pancha tattva. Nityananda Prabhu is the Adi Guru, the original Guru. So all of the tattvas are personified within the pancha tattva. So if you understand pancha tattva, then you understand the absolute truth. This is the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the Bhagavatam is teaching us Krishna Sambandha. Sambandha means the relationship. So this is the relationship between Krishna and Krishna's energies. This is the absolute truth. The absolute truth is not just God. It is God and all of his energies. So that is Krishna Sambandha. Now what is the second subject matter of the Vedas? Abhideya. Abhideya. So when Lord Chaitanya teaches Abhideya, then he teaches Bhakti Abhideya. Krishna Sambandha Bhakti Abhideya. Abhideya means? Yeah, it means the process. The process, how to connect, how does the jiva connect to God? How does jiva tattva connect to Vishnu tattva? It is through bhakti. Bhakti yoga. So this is called bhakti shakti. This is how the jiva connects to God. This is bhakti abhideya, or the process of how the jiva will connect to Krishna. Like that. So bhakti has different qualities and different elements. If you want to understand bhakti, then you have to study one particular book. What is the best book if you want to understand bhakti? If you want to understand bhakti, which book is the best? Very good. Yeah. Or the Bhakti Ras Amrita Sindhu. If you want to understand bhakti, you must understand Bhakti Ras Amrita Sindhu. You must understand the Nectar of Devotion. Now, in the Nectar of Devotion, it describes there are three classifications of bhakti. Right? We have sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti, and prema bhakti. Now, each of the two types of bhakti, each of the types of bhakti, the three types, or the three classifications, has two qualities. Right? Sadhana bhakti, what are the two qualities? Yeah, you can say Vaidhi and Raganu, but there's also two other qualities which Rupa Goswami describes. Kaleshagni and Shubhada. Kaleshagni means when you practice sadhana bhakti, sadhana means practice. So when we begin to practice bhakti, the regulative principles of bhakti, then kleshagni means all of your distress, all of your klesh is destroyed. You won't feel klesh anymore. It will become diminished. In other words, as much suffering, klesh means suffering, as there is in this material world, it becomes minimal. Devotees don't experience so much suffering. Just like Prabhupada said, he was turning hippies into happy. Right? The Hare Krishna devotees are known for being happy. They're happy, very bright-faced. One time, Prabhu Vishnu Swami went to visit Prabhupada, and he offered his obeisances to Prabhupada, and when he stood up and he looked at Prabhupada, Prabhupada said, "Bright-faced brahmachari." The devotees have bright faces. They're not morose. If you see a morose Hare Krishna, that means there's something going wrong in the world. Doesn't make sense. If Hare Krishna is morose, it doesn't make sense. If we're morose, the world's got no hope. Right? We're the happy guys. That's what we signed up for. Right? Happy. We're the Hare Krishnas. We're meant to be happy. Right? If we're not happy, that means something wrong. That means we're not following the process properly. Like that. Material world is always full of suffering. Right? It's unavoidable. Right? My back hurts, my knee hurts, my ankle hurts, my head hurts, my brain hurts. Right? Everything hurts. Right? It's the material world. You cannot avoid suffering. It will always be there. Right? There will always be some suffering. But devotees, they do not relate to the suffering so much. They have to learn to transcend it through bhakti, become absorbed in Krishna consciousness, and then you feel happy. You go and see the devotees when they're leaving their body. So many of our devotees in this world have left their body. You go and see them. They're in ecstasy, many of them. So this is the consciousness of the devotee. Now he absorbs himself in Krishna and he becomes automatically happy. Prabhupada describes this. Krishna is always happy. So if you associate with Krishna, you will always also become happy. So this is the result of practicing sadhana bhakti. One experience is kleshagni. And the second feature of sadhana bhakti is shubhada. Shubhada means auspicious qualities. Devotees have good qualities. The good qualities come from practicing devotion or bhakti. Devotees develop good qualities. They're good people, the devotees. And the more you cleanse the heart, cheto, dapana, marajanam, the more you cleanse the heart, right, then the more the good qualities will come out. Devotees have unlimited good qualities. So this is from sadhana bhakti. And then from bhava bhakti, two other qualities come. Moksha, lakuta krit, and sadulabha. Meaning, bhava bhakti is rare, sadulabha, it is very advanced, it's rare to get to that stage. And moksha lakuta krit means that liberation becomes insignificant when you get to bhava bhakti. Merging into the Brahman just becomes lakuta krit, becomes insignificant, that desire. And then when you get to prema bhakti, then there are two final qualities. One is called Sri Krishna Kashini and the other one is called Sandrananda Visheshatma. Sandrananda Visheshatma means in prema bhakti you have condensed unlimited bliss. Just like when you cook the milk with sugar and you cook it and cook it and cook it and cook it and cook it, gradually it just becomes more and more thick and thick and thick, and then it becomes burfi. And that is unlimited bliss. Right? That is, right? You take that burfi and you offer it to Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani, and then you take the Mahaprasad, that becomes unlimited bliss. That is condensed. Sandrananda Visheshatma means the bhakti that the prema bhaktas or the pure devotees of Krishna experience is unlimitedly thick. The bliss they're experiencing cannot be described. It can be described. You see in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, in Radharani's pastimes, in the devotee, it becomes, the bliss just overflows into ecstasy. Transformations of the body. Tears constantly coming from the eyes. Hairs standing on end. Quivering in the body, the voice is choking up, just experiencing so much bliss. Astra Satrika Bhavs. And then, Sri Krishna Kashini. The nature of prema bhakti is that it controls Krishna. Just like Mother Yashoda, she picks up the stick, And she says, you know, you smashed the butter pot. Where is that boy? She runs through Vrindavan with the stick. Right? But by her love, she controls Krishna. God, who is Ajita, who is unconquerable, he runs in fear of Mother Yashoda. That is the potency of love in the spiritual world. Then she goes to bind him up, tie him up. And she uses all the rope in Vrindavan. Still, she's two fingers too short, trying to tie this boy up, and still. But because her love is so strong, he says, okay. And then he lets that person who cannot be bound by anything becomes bound by the devotee's love. So that is Sri Krishna Kashini. That is the quality of Prema Bhakti. So Krishna Sambandha Bhakti Abhideya. The process to reach Krishna is... Bhakti Abhideya. The process to reach Krishna is bhakti. Right? The more bhakti you have, the more you get Krishna. The closer Krishna comes to you, the more you'll feel his presence with the more bhakti. So, Sambandha, Abhideya, and what is the last one? Prayojana. Prayojana means the ultimate goal of our bhakti. So, Krishna Sambandha, Bhakti Abhideya, Prema, Lord Chaitanya teaches, Prema Prayojana. Our goal is Prema Bhakti. Right? It is to become, to develop love for Krishna. Right? Pure, unalloyed, unconditional, uninterrupted love for Krishna. That is the only thing that will satisfy our heart. Does sometimes your heart feel empty? Those of you who are now awake in the Bhagavatam class, does sometimes your heart feel empty? Hands up. Does sometimes you feel empty in the heart? Yeah. Why is that? Because there's not love for Krishna in there. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema. Lord Chaitanya says it's already there. It's not something new. It's already there. But the Guru is bringing it out. Right? It is already there. That love for Krishna is already there. But we have to bring it out. Right, so how do we bring it out? You practice bhakti yoga. Lord Chaitanya's process is simple. The Prabhupada says, simply, you dance and chant in ecstasy, right? And then you take Krishna prasad when you're fatigued. This is the Sankirtan movement. And by this process, you can achieve love of Godhead. Could it be any easier? Then why do you make it so difficult? We complicate it. Prabhupada said this is simple for the simple and complicated for the complicated. Dance and chant in ecstasy and take prasad. But then you complicate everything. This is the nature of the conditioned soul. We like to make it all complicated. It's not easy enough. I have to complicate it. It has to be more complicated than this. I can only relate to things when they're complicated. So then we make all these other problems in our life. So this is the nature. So in the Bhagavatam it describes these three subject matters: Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. So in this verse, Krishna is speaking to Uddhava. He's speaking about Sambandha, like that, which we don't have time to elaborate upon because it would take another half an hour. So we'll stop here and we'll see if there's any questions or comments on what we have discussed. Is that a question? Or?
It just puts us in an awkward position if we understand that we're actually so complicated. So the question would be, how do we become simple-hearted so that we can relate to the process in that way and don't mean other things?
It's up to you. You can make it simple if you want. Prabhupada said, dance and chant in ecstasy. So Lord Chaitanya says, Kirtaniyaha Sadahari. He says you should always chant. So are you chanting all day long? Right? Are we chanting all day long? Right? If you're constantly chanting, then what do you do when you chant? How do you feel? You feel like dancing. No? That's why it says in the spiritual world, every word is a song, every step is a dance. Because when you start chanting, you feel like dancing. So then you can do your service all day. You can just dance and chant. You just chant, and if you feel blissful, then you dance. You're down at Crossways washing the dishes, and you dance. Up and down. And go and get the dishes and bring them back. And do a little spin in between. Spin around, put the dishes in the rack, and get out. The dishes in the right? And then when everyone comes to the counter to take prasad, you say, would you like any prasad? So you can do it. Is anything stopping you? Huh? Daniel. Okay. I'll have a talk to Daniel after the course. But there's nothing stopping you. Just like last year, we did a program at one Mind Body Spirit Festival, and we did a presentation on meditation, and it was leading up to kirtan. You know, we taught them meditation, then we taught them japa, and then we taught them kirtan, and then sankirtan. So at the end, I said, okay, everyone stand up. So everyone stood up. I said, everyone put your hands in the air. So everyone put their hands in the air. I said, everyone step like this. So everyone did the swami set. I said, now chant. Like that. So then we started playing the mridanga and the kartals, and everyone started like doing that. But all the adults in the audience, most of about 40 adults, everyone was very self-conscious, like. And there was only one person in the whole audience who wasn't self-conscious. It was one little child who was about 8 years old, and she was dancing and chanting. She said, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So we have to become childlike. We have to become simple-hearted. Like that. You can dance and chant all day long. And if you're tired, then you have a little prasad. What is the problem? Okay. Simple for the simple. And complicated for the complicated. Right? I didn't really answer your question, but... Is that okay? Is that fine? I could go into a whole elaboration, but if we keep it simple, it's better. Could I make it more complicated? After class, I'll make it more complicated. Just like on the farm. Then there's not so many devotees there. So now I'm teaching the kangaroos how to chant. So I ride by in the morning when I'm riding down to the temple to greet to await the deities. And then as the kangaroo's there, I say, Hurry ball. And I've got them to the point now where they look at me and they go. So we're working on it. Simple for the simple. Okay. Any other comment or question?
When you say Krishna's amount, Bhakti Ade, and pray, where can I find that
explanation? Mm-hmm. Lord Chaitanya, I think it's to Sanatana Goswami in Majjalila. Chapter 19, I think, in Majjalila is Rupa's, Lord Chaitanya teaching Rupa Goswami. I think chapter 20 to 24 or so is Sanatana Goswami. It's in that section. I think it's Sanatana Shiksha. Like that. It's either Rupa Shiksha or Sanatana Shiksha. It's one of the two. Any other question or comment?
In Shiksha, Ashtabhan Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I feel
emptiness is based upon love. When you actually love someone, when you're separated from them, right, you feel intense pain. Right? So at the moment, we don't feel anything for Krishna. But Lord Chaitanya, when he is not with Krishna, he says, Ayi Nanda Tanuja Kinkaram. He says, Ayi. Ayi means calling out like, Ayi Nanda Tanuja Kinkaram. Nanda Tanuja. Nanda Tanuja means son of Nanda Maharaj. Ayi, where are you? Like that, because he's feeling separation from Krishna. So it is based on love. And love and separation is even more intense. When you're with someone, you have so much emotion, but when they're gone, then you feel very intensely attached. Like that. So then, Lord Chaitanya, he wants to experience even more ecstasy, so then he comes as a devotee in separation from Krishna. Vipralamba Seva. Same love, but just heightened by separation. Is that okay?
What is the difference between anxiety for Krishna and devotional service? Also, you get more loss and distress. What is the difference?
Because in devotional service, sometimes we feel there's a lot of anxiety, or we feel there's a lot of stress like that, because we have so much responsibility to spread this movement. But the devotee also feels, internally, he feels blissful. He may feel exhausted. He may feel a lot of anxiety, a lot of pressure to maintain so much service and so forth. But deep, deep within, he feels blissful. Because he's doing this for Krishna. So it has to be balanced. It should not be that the devotee is always under stress and always under anxiety like that. It should be balanced. Devotional service should be balanced. But we should feel sometimes when Krishna gives us too much service, or the spiritual master or the authorities give us too much, then sometimes we take that on, that burden. And it's stressful, it's anxiety, but it gives us pleasure because we're doing it for Krishna. Maybe Krishna at that time is testing us to see how much we are attached to him. Do we keep going even when it becomes more difficult? Sometimes he turns up the heat and it becomes more difficult, but do we keep going at that time, or do we give up? No, we keep going like that. And then he pulls it back again like that, and then it comes again. He always does this. Krishna is a very playful devotee. He enjoys seeing us go through a little bit of like that, but he's always watching. Don't think he's not watching. Don't think he doesn't care about us like that. But it should be balanced. It should not be too much so that devotees crack like that. The leader's responsibility is to make sure the devotees are balanced and satisfied in their service, but at the same time you have to push a little bit too. So it's like that. Is that okay?
Translation, by intellection of my energy, your friend opinions arise in higher.
It's a whole discussion, so I can't say much about it. But it means in the material world, people always have different opinions. Just like, what is the internet? Right? What is, basically, you know, people say all these conferences, you know, even in ISKCON. You know, there's all these topics of discussion, and they just go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. It goes on for years and years, and 30,000 emails later. Right? So this is all because of the modes of nature, all the different opinions. But this verse teaches us that when we understand Krishna is supreme, that everything becomes reconciled and harmonious. And we don't have to argue about so many different opinions. Everything becomes very harmonious like that.
Can it be that the three energies of present times, by the interaction of those three modes, different opinions arise? Can you say that?
Yeah, it means one person's mode of goodness, one person's mode of ignorance, one person's in front of passion, put them in the same room, and they'll begin to have different opinions. Right? But then you put three devotees in the same room, right? and everything should become Krishna conscious. Yeah, because Krishna is in the center, everything should be harmonious and agreeing. Like that.
Does that say in the Bhagavad Gita 2.41 there's this verse, Yavasayatmika Buddhira, is that the intelligent that is meant by this, everything is resolved, there's no conflict? So, and I was also wondering, if you know what this Yavasayatmika means, because it's just translated as steady in Krishna consciousness. Do you have any other meanings?
I don't know literally what the Sanskrit means, but Yavasi Yatmika Buddhi means fixed intelligence, like focused, like that. How does the intelligence become focused? By meditating on the order of the Guru. When you meditate on the order of the spiritual master, your intelligence becomes fixed. So that's why we should meditate on the order of the Guru. Then our intelligence will not, Bahu Shakayanantascha, won't go. So you have to listen to your Guru. Who is your Guru? Right, and then you have to follow what the Guru says, and then your intelligence doesn't become. Okay. Devotees become confused when they stop listening to Guru. Simple.
But the problem is sometimes you have different Shiksha Guru opinions also.
So then why do you have Diksha Guru? Right? Why is Rupa Goswami say the whole process is based upon Diksha Guru? Okay, so many Shiksha Gurus, then you go to Diksha Guru. What is the resolution? This one says that, the one says that. He says, okay, this, done. Simple for the simple. Prabhupada said, don't listen to too many people. If you listen to everyone, then it doesn't work. Any other question or comment? Okay, Srila Prabhupada.